From the social justice classroom inside Hugh Boyd Secondary, this is Voices. A youth-created podcast driven by a steadfast commitment to improving the world around us.
I'm Macy.
I'm Ryan.
I'm Erin.
And you're listening to the Voices podcast.
We're so excited to be interviewing Alex Sangha, an LGBTQ plus activist and social change agent from Vancouver.
Mr. Sangha is a counselor, filmmaker, writer, speaker, and the founder of Share Vancouver, a registered charity dedicated to providing support for queer South Asians. Share Vancouver was founded in 2008 to provide cultural and social services to queer South Asians and allies in Metro Vancouver.
Mr. Sangha received the Meritorious Service Medal from the Governor General of Canada in 2018. And we are so lucky to be talking with him today.
Yes, thank you so much. Let's start with our first question. We were wondering what inspired you to go into this field of work?
So I went into social work because I'm a little bit of a spiritual person, and I believe that's what, you know, the Creator wants me to do, what Jesus or Guru Nanak or whoever you believe in terms of a higher power. I believe that helping people and doing selfless service and trying to make a difference in this community is the purpose of life, or one of the purposes of life. And this is definitely what I feel God wants me to do. And that's why I went into social work.
Thank you so much. Do you feel that any of your life experiences have impacted your work or your desire to go into this field?
Yes, that's a really good question, actually, because, you know, being gay, living with bipolar disorder and mental illness, being raised by a single mother, being a visible minority, and all these things shape my lived experience. And so now when I work in counseling or do social work with my charity or I make films, you know, for example, my film was about gay South Asian and Punjabi Sikh people. I talk about mental illness in the community. I write articles about, you know, being about racism. And a lot of the things we've done actually are directly related to my lived experience of who I am and what I can offer.
So much. That's a great answer.
So speaking of your intersecting minority groups, we were wondering what are some of the ways you've incorporated those different aspects of yourself into your work?
Yeah, so for example, when we made my film Emergence Out of the Shadows, which you can see behind me, you know, I was raised by a single mother, so we made sure that we had representation from my mom in the film, we had representation from other women in the film, we had representation from gay people, from lesbians, from, you know, people of color. We made sure that, you know, we talked about issues of that we experienced, such as my mother and domestic violence and alcoholism and being raised in poverty as an immigrant and settling and struggling in this country as an immigrant. A lot of people don't realize that a lot of immigrants really don't have a lot of privilege. A lot of them come here and they struggle. The first generation that arrives here works very hard to make life better for their children and grandchildren. So, you know, it was very challenging for my family and my mom because she was a single mother and myself. But, you know, we work hard and we are a success now.
That's good to hear.
What role does the school system play in promoting diversity, inclusion, and acceptance,
in your opinion?
Yeah.
That's a good question. It plays a huge role because, you know, for me, the worst part of my life was high school. I was so suicidal. I was so bullied. People said that I talked like a girl. People thought I was gay. Someone scratched faggot into my locker. Times have changed a lot in high school since those times. But just being different in high school and being queer, you're often alienated, you're isolated, you're marginalized. And this can cause a lot of mental health problems like depression or anxiety or loneliness or alienation or suicidal ideation for queer youth. And queer youth are more at risk of suicide and anxiety and all these issues, all these social problems than, you know, the mainstream kids and the mainstream youth. So when someone is coming out to you, or, you know, they choose you to tell you about their gender identity, their coming out or their sexuality, It's so important to be a friend and to support that person because you may be the only hope that they have. You may be the only reason that they you could save their life. They could be suicidal. So this is why it's so important for high schools to be supportive, for the youth to stand up against bullying and to protect their gay and lesbian friends and allies.
Definitely. And do you think that there's anything like the school system could be doing better on like a systemic level to help these sort of things?
Well, there's a lot of backlash now against sexual orientation and gender identity curriculum. People are against drag queen story time. There's a lot of anti-transgender, there's transphobia. I think it's just misinformation and people are not informed. You have to realize that all this SOGI curriculum has been vetted and approved by the Ministry of Education, the school districts, the teachers' associations, the BCTF. I know when I was trying to get my film, Emergence Out of the Shadows, into the Vancouver and Surrey school boards, it took almost 1 to 2 years to get it approved. It's very, very, very difficult. So could you imagine trying to bring a whole curriculum into the British Columbia public education system? It is so vetted and it's so needed. It is better for gay and lesbian kids to get their education on sexuality, gender identity, and coming out in the school system than it is to turn to the internet or to society at large. It's better to get this kind of support within the school system, and it's important for that to be available in the school system. And I think it's under threat, and I think a lot of parents and a lot of people in the community are passing inaccurate information, and it's leading to backlash and problems within our community.
So you mentioned how misinformation, like the spread of misinformation, contributes to like queer discrimination in schools right now. How do you think that the internet has begun to play a role in that now that we see it like more and more often?
Well, for example, the BC Minister of Education in Surrey, her name is Rachna Singh, she came under recall. There was a group of people who were activists, right-wing activists, who were against basically SOGI curriculum and basically gay and lesbian rights, who were basically spreading misinformation in the community to pull her from office and get rid of her. And this is when people's human rights and democracy are intersecting, I feel, in a negative way. And what is happening is, they took pictures of a safe sex guide for queer people in the library, and they put it on posters and said the teachers are teaching this explicit curriculum to the students. This is information that is in the library, and what a better place to put this type of information than in the library for the gay kids that need that kind of information. They should be able to go to the library and get that kind of information if they need it. So the information that was being put out was that the teachers are teaching this explicit material to the students, and it's false. And so everyone is getting scared, and all these parents are afraid that their children are being brainwashed into homosexuality, which that in and of itself is misinformation. You can't just turn someone gay. I mean, it's a much more inherent, innate thing than that. I mean, people tried their whole life to turn me straight, but it never worked.
Thank you so much. That was very insightful. So, what are the most pressing issues faced by the LGBTQ plus community in Canada today?
Well, like I said, if a right-wing government comes to power, either federally or provincially or even locally or in the school boards, we can have our rights stripped from us, our human rights stripped from us from any at any given time. We are a very vulnerable minority, and a lot of people don't understand us. A lot of people don't want to support us. A lot of religious faiths, a lot of religions don't support gay and lesbian people. So we're in a difficult situation because we're dealing with culture, we're dealing with faith, we're dealing with tradition, and how can we fight for our rights in a country where, those are such prevalent institutions in our society? And anyone can rip up the Charter of the Human Rights Codes and stuff and change them, amend them, and take away our rights. So we're very vulnerable, and we have to constantly be vigilant and defend ourselves and to protect ourselves and our rights. And we need the support of young people like you to say, no, there's nothing wrong having gay friends or lesbian friends, and they should be allowed to be who they are and express themselves. And it's no one's business how what people's sexuality or gender identity is. They're not trying to recruit people. They're not trying to brainwash people. They just want to be free and live their life. So let them live their life.
And on a similar vein, do you think that there's any progress that Canada has made in terms of LGBTQ plus rights in recent years?
Yeah. So I think there's around 200 countries around the world, and almost 90 of them, gay people really have no rights. They could be executed. They could be thrown in jail. They can get a fine. They could, it's illegal to get married or to adopt children. So in 90 countries, almost in half of those countries, our rights are limited. But in Canada, it's one of the bright spots right now. We have rights, so we can get married, we can adopt children, our rights are enshrined in the Human Rights Code federally and provincially. I think Canada is doing better than most countries, but we can still need improvement. It's still hard for a lot of youth to come out as queer in this country. And I still think a lot of people in certain cultural communities, whether they're Asian or South Asian or whatever, it's hard to come out in your families because a lot of our families are very traditional and very conservative, and there's not a lot of understanding in our communities about being gay.
Yeah, very true. So, like, following that up, we see on your, like, on Cher's website that you help queer South Asians. Do you think there's any, like, unique experiences you had growing up being queer and being South Asian that you don't think others of, like, other, like, ethnic groups would have experienced?
Yeah. So queer South Asians, we actually welcome queer South Asians and their friends, families, and allies. We actually welcome everyone. We've had Asian people, Filipino people, transgender people, Latino people, Muslim, not Muslim, Hindu, Christian, Jewish, Sikh people on our board. We currently have two Jewish people on our board. So we are actually becoming a multicultural registered charity, but we are the bulk of our membership is queer South Asians because we started in the Surrey Delta area, and a vast majority of the population there is queer South Asian. For example, if a gay organization or charity started in Richmond, the vast majority of the people would probably be Asian. So that's how we sort of evolved. But we welcome everyone. We don't turn anyone away. But I think, South Asians, and whether they're South Asians or Asians, we face unique challenges because we are a minority within a minority. We are not only South Asian and Asian, we are also queer. So we are often alienated from the mainstream queer community. I mean, you often see in the mainstream queer community, it's rare to see people of color celebrated as beautiful or as role models in our community. We don't see ourselves represented on the queer media. And then also within our own communities, whether it's South Asian or Punjabi Sikh or Asian, our own communities oftentimes sideline us. You're the black sheep of the family. They don't really support you. The culture really doesn't accept you. So we are kind of boxed into this discrimination on both sides. So it's very difficult to get the support, and that's why we have Share Vancouver. To welcome and support members of our community, but I want to make it clear that we welcome everyone. And if you're BIPOC or racialized or queer, especially, we want us to reach out to those communities and let them know we're here for you.
Yeah, it's very important. Thank you. What are the most challenging parts of social activism?
You piss off a lot of people. You piss off a lot of people when you stand up for things. And then someone said to me, when I started Share Vancouver, I got so much hate mail. The president of the Sikh temple said there's no such thing as gay Sikhs. And all of a sudden, the whole community was after me. Internationally, people were bashing me and threatening me and calling me names. And I was, almost crying and talking to my mom, do you think I'm doing the right thing? And we went and prayed at the Sikh temple. And I said, you know what? I'm really feeling that I need to do this. I should not back down. And I said, we need to save lives. And a number of people had commit suicide and were victims of hate crimes. And that propelled me to create the organization. And it's so important because there's a lot of young people who feel alone, who have no support, and we need to be that that lifesaver that pulls them from drowning, saves them from drowning. And really, I don't want people to go through what I went through.
Yeah.
And if I can just move forward in my life and make life a little bit happier and better for the next generation, then I feel I've met my goal.
That's a very admirable goal that you
Yeah,
set. You're doing like a lot of good.
And following that, what would you say are the most rewarding parts of the things that you're doing?
Students who start off in Share Vancouver as practicum students, and then they get jobs with Share Vancouver, and then they go into management and they go into the board. And I'm watching their trajectory, I'm watching their growth, and I'm watching them develop their potential and their capacity and flourish in the organization and be so happy for being who they are. And I say to myself, and then sometimes I see some people in Share Vancouver who fall in love and they're meeting some partner and they're dating and they're young people. Like there's one guy in Share Vancouver, was a volunteer and now he's on our management team and he's dating this young guy who wears a turban. And I'm just thinking, when I was young, that would never happen. That would never happen. And now it's happening, and it's happening because they met in Share Vancouver and now they are in love and now they're dating. And it's like, that's what makes it worth it. It's these little things of connection, of human beings connecting and being happy.
It's so wonderful. It's so nice.
It's like you get to be a part of the thing that you wish you had when you're younger. Who would you say is your biggest inspiration?
Well, my biggest inspiration is probably my mother. She was a single mother. She raised three boys. She was a victim of violence. She was a victim of alcoholism from my father. She left my father. She didn't really couldn't speak English. She only had grade 10 education. She could not pass grade 12. She learned English. She took the nurse's aide course. She became a nurse's aide for over 25 years, I think, 20 years. She worked as a nurse's aide, taking care of people, seniors and elders in the long-term care facilities, giving them baths, changing their diapers, cleaning them, feeding them. Can you imagine this backbreaking work? We had no money. We had no money growing up. My mom just had enough money to pay for the food and the shelter. That was it. We grew up in such limited resources, but you know what? We were always happy. The family was together. My mom was always had three boys around her. So my greatest, I owe everything to my mother. And I sometimes wonder why people have to suffer and why God makes people suffer. But now I see my life and I see how happy my mother is. And my mom, I have two brothers and they're both straight and they don't live with my mother, but I'm the gay kid and I live with my mother. And she's like, well, maybe that's why you were gay, so you could live with me.
That's so sweet. What are some of the lessons that you've taken away from your mother growing up that you think you still carry with you, like to this day?
My mother is very spiritual, and one thing that got her through the difficult challenges and difficult times was she feels there's an ultimate purpose in life. She feels that our story has already been written out by the creator or the spiritual world or our ancestors thousands of years ago. We are really just actors in this world. We're just playing out a story. The thoughts come to our mind, whatever. We do what we need to do, but we have choices. God gives us the ability to make choices, and we make those choices, but God already knows what you're going to do before you do it. So, do we really have choices, or is it destiny or whatever? But God wants you to work hard, to please God, to do good things. So my mom sometimes doesn't worry too much when bad things happen because she feels ultimately what's going to happen is in God's control, and we just need to do the best we can in the circumstances. So that's what I learned from my mom, and it's really helped me kind of cope with a lot of difficult times.
Very wonderful lesson. And then I think we just have a few more to finish off our interview, not super long. We were wondering, what do you think people could do to combat the ongoing rise in hate crimes and discrimination against the LGBTQ plus community?
I think they can organize groups, they can donate to queer organizations. Such as Share Vancouver, we always need money to support our programming. They can write to their politicians. They could stand for office and get elected and pass legislation that supports gay and lesbian people. They can reach out to community groups. They can reach out to schools. They can do presentations. I guess it's a question of just being an ally and supporting the queer community and doing it in whatever capacity you can. And, all it takes is one person to really light the spark that changes the world. You don't have to be thousands of people. One person can make a difference in this world, You can post something on Twitter and it can go viral overnight and you can get your message across to millions of people. This podcast might go viral, so you never really know, right? You just have to find innovative and creative ways to support the community and get your message across and try your best.
Thank you so much. And just one last one.
Yep. So, are there any ways that young people can help within the school community and the broader community?
I think you guys are doing it by having a podcast. You can join the Gay Straight Alliance. You can have a queer prom. You can have a queer prom, right? Because I know when I went to prom, I never really felt accepted because it was such a heterosexual prom. It would have been nice if I could go to a prom in Surrey or Delta or Richmond or something and meet a guy or feel comfortable as a gay person going. There's a lot of things youth can do. I think if there's a way for well-off students in the school to somehow contribute and help out students and your peers who are suffering or struggling or who don't have a lot of financial means. If there was some kind of built-in capacity through the parents, I know you guys have a DPAC, the District Parents Advisory Committee. If there was a way for parents who have money to help those students and parents who are struggling financially, because I know I was raised by a single mother who had nothing and it was so challenging. And we know that people who grow up with limited income, they have worse outcomes than students who have more income. So I think that is something that students can fight for. And just to ensure that everyone who gets an education in our public education system has the best opportunity to get ahead in life. And no one should be left behind. And I think this is something that a lot of youth could get behind and support because they could go to their parents, and what are their parents going to say? No, we don't care about the other kids. So the parents could be like, the youth have a lot of say talking to their parents. And this is one thing I would like to see is just that everyone has the opportunities and resources and financial resources to reach their potential and reach their goals in life.
That's a very good message. Thank you so much. We really appreciate having you on here. That's all we have for today. So, yeah, thank you. Thank you again. This means a lot to us.
Thank you so much.
Be sure to let you know when the podcast is out so you can listen back if you want.
Stay tuned for the release.
Yeah, so yeah, send me the link. I'll share it on our platforms.
Oh, that'd be
Oh,
so
that'd be
great. Okay,
amazing.
we'll keep in touch with you then. We'll send you the
Yes.
link for it when it comes out.
Yeah, you guys are wonderful for doing this, and you seem so happy at your school. So this is great, great
Yeah,
programming
amazing.
that you guys are doing at Richmond School District. So thank you.
Of course. Thank you so much.